If you'd like to find Mark chapter 10 in your Bibles, Mark chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 13 to 16. Mark chapter 10, that's the second book in the New Testament. Let's ask God's help before we go any further, shall we? Father, there's been a lot going on the past few days, you know that. You've been watching us and listening, and you've been there. There's a lot of things going on in our hearts and minds right now. We ask for your help, Lord. Captivate our hearts and minds and show us the Lord Jesus Christ, show us ourselves and help us to lose ourselves in him in faith and dependence and trust. Help us now, Lord, as we look into your word. Take away any dullness, take away distractions. We ask that you will help us because we dare not take one step without you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're reading Mark 10 verse 13. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry or indignant with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. So we're going to look at what it is to be a child before God this morning. But at this precise moment in time, we're in the period following Christmas, aren't we? The period of New Year's resolutions, endless programs on TV, reviewing last year. I am so not going to watch those. But I suppose the beginning of another year suggested it's a good time, perhaps, to make a fresh start, make an improvement on last year or what's been of this year. A son called his parents to wish them a happy new year, and when his dad answered the phone, he asked his dad, "Well, Dad, what's your new year's resolution?" And his dad replied, "To make your mother as happy as I can all year." When his mum got on the phone, he asked her the same question. His mum replied, "My resolution is to see that your dad keeps his New Year's resolution." Or maybe you feel like taking the same attitude as the cartoon character Lucy in the Peanuts cartoon. "God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now I'm so far behind I'm never going to die." Of course, no one really cares if you resolve to diet more, die less, eat better, smell worse, or just give up on everything. Nobody cares really. Your problem. Whatever. Of course, the problem with New Year's resolutions is not the idea or the sincerity behind them. It's us, isn't it? And all joking aside, the most serious problem we have is our hearts. John Lennon never got that, did he? He said, "All you need is love. You can't get rid of God and religion. All you need is love." It's easy if you try. Yeah, well, if it's so easy, John, why isn't everybody doing it? We can't. Something's got to happen in here, isn't it? The heart has got to be changed. The failure rate has got to be altered dramatically. The good intentions have got to be given a power outside of themselves, otherwise they're going to fail. The heart drives the will, and the will drives the life. So we've got to sort out the heart, haven't we? We read in God's Word, the Bible, Jeremiah 17, this truth, the heart, the human heart, is the most deceitful of all things. Isn't that true? I bet some of you are sitting there this morning thinking, I'm not that bad, I'm a nice person. Well, that's good. It's nice to be nice, it's good to be good. But as far as your relationship with God is concerned, you will never be nice enough or good enough. You will never tick enough boxes. You will never be that holy. You will never keep his word. I don't. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things, and it's desperately wicked. Believe you me, left to your own devices, you know what you can get up to. I know what I can get up to if God kept his hand off of me for 1 moment. Who really knows how bad it is? Well, I'll tell you who knows how really bad it is. But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. He knows what you're thinking and feeling right now. He's right inside you. He's rummaging around. What does he see? What does he detect? I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Now if you think about that verse for a minute, without Jesus Christ in your heart and life, you are in serious trouble. Because God's going to give you what you deserve. Unless Jesus Christ steps up to the plate for you. Now that truth about the state of the human heart has some serious repercussions, consequences for our standing before God. Because if that's the case of our hearts, what's your standing before God? Well, we read somewhere else in the Bible. Romans 3 verse 23 tells us this. Everyone has sinned. Sin is breaking God's law and not obeying him. And we all do it. We do it from birth. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Now if it was left to us, becoming a Christian, going to church, getting to heaven, blah blah blah, would be nice and easy, wouldn't it? We'd bring the stick right down here so we've barely got to step over it and get into heaven. But not so, because we forget so easily. And sadly, this is the case in the church today. We forget that we are dealing with Almighty God. We are dealing with a blinding, searing, burning holiness, the likes of which you and me could never hope to stand before and give an account for ourselves and justify ourselves. If you try to stand in front of God as you are, you will be vaporized as if you were standing in front of a nuclear bomb. That's how holy God is. Now, how on earth do you think you're going to get into heaven and get right with God? Well, thinking about it, isn't it? We all fall short of glorious standard. So here's the problem. The human heart and the consequences of that human heart before God. How on earth can you know today that you're going to be accepted into heaven if, as we're told in the Bible, like we've just read, we're all total failures when it comes to impressing God? You think you impress God? Can you be bothered this morning? Whatever, as someone in my house would say. You think you're here because you were dragged along. You think you're here because it seemed like a good idea. You're here because you wanted to hear what the old man has to say for himself. God brought you here this morning. You're here because he hasn't done it. And he wants you to know there's a serious issue for you. Now don't think because you're young this doesn't affect you. I challenge you to go to the nearest cemetery and look at some of the gravestones and take a note of the age of the people there. 6, 16, 26, Don't assume you've got the rest of your life as you're going to sort this out when you're an old man like me. I've taken a lot of funerals, and some of them were for people who never had any time for God, and I seriously wonder where they are today. It's not this life you've got to worry about so much, it's the next one. The next one. Because the next one could be tonight, for you. I don't know. Oh, you're really cheerful about Peter, aren't you? Look. Because I'm so loving and concerned about you, I'm going to tell you the truth. If what you want is peace and contentment and satisfaction, never mind all the baubles and the plastic and the garbage and the celebrities and the money and the lottery and all the other stuff that Satan in his subtlety throws at you, this is what you want, come and join my gang, I'll give you everything. Ignore that. Yeah, I'm telling you, ignore it. Because Jesus is here and he says, I am going to give you life and meaning and purpose. I'm going to give you, if you will only humble yourself like a little child, I will give you a reason for rising up in the morning and living for something or someone other than yourself. I will give you something, a strength, a power and a purpose and a quality in your heart and life that will take you through this life with a totally different perspective, a totally different outlook. I will give you eternal life. I will give you new life in the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus is telling us in what we read that little while ago in Mark chapter 10. Let's look at this, shall we? Let's look what it is to be like a child before God. Yes, I know these are literally children, but this just isn't here to show us that, well, you know, Jesus is lovely and pats kids on their heads and off they run. It's far more important than that. It has implications for each one of us, as well as the children. There's children out there, and there's children in here this morning. Are you a child? In your thinking, in your heart, in your mind, before God, are you a child? Whose hand are you holding to cross the road of life this day? You think it's all down to you? Listen, this is as incredible as this sounds. I was 16 once. Yeah, I know. It was a long time ago. We still used fountain pens in those days. We had black and white television. We didn't wear seatbelts. And there were no microwaves. Can you believe it? How did we survive? But I was 16 months. Seems like just yesterday. Oh, I'm going to live forever. I lived for football. Football was my life. Fat lot of good it did me. But anyway, I lived for football morning, noon and night. And we didn't have a local recreation ground. We played football in the streets because there were no cars in those days. Well, there was one in our road. But he soon moved it when we started playing football. And I thought I was going to live forever. You know? And before I knew it, I was a granddad. And here I am. And I'm 70 in a couple of months' time. And I'm thinking to myself, I've got to start getting ready for heaven. Seriously. Seriously. It's soon going to go, believe you me. It's soon going to go. And will you be saved? This is what Jesus is saying. You've got to sort this out today. You've got to become like a little child in a certain sense. You've got to become like a little child. In this simple little narrative we have here, there's a principle for being permanently and genuinely changed by God. Do you want to be changed by God? Do you want to have God in your heart and life? No, I mean really. Why do you think I stand here each week? Why do I do this? because I'm a religious person and I like doing this. Or somebody might have said, you enjoy strutting your stuff on the platform, don't you? Yeah, okay. That's what you think. Do you know, before I come here, I'm literally, well not literally, almost sick. I'm so focused and concerned that God is going to take me and use me and he's going to speak to you and I'm not getting in the way. I'm so aware of my own inadequacies and unworthiness, I'm nearly always at the point of being sick. I don't do this for an ego kick. I don't do this because I'm building up an empire for myself or a name for myself. I don't do this for any other reason than I want you to be where I am with God. I want you to be a child holding on to God's hand, and you feel it and you know it and you sense him and you walk with him every day. And there is nothing, nothing more important than you being a child of God. Without Jesus in your heart and life, deep within, changing you, giving you a new heart and a new life, you and me are never going to meet again. I'm not going to see you in heaven. Pains me to say that, but because I'm concerned about you, I'm telling you now. Basically, without the Lord Jesus in your heart, really, truly, without him, your New Year's resolutions are ultimately pointless because they can never be permanent and they will never fix you either for this life, and most certainly they won't fix you for the next. What you need is a New Year's revolution, not a New Year's resolution. You need a revolution. You need a shake-up. You need God to come charging into your heart and life as only he can to rescue you, because we're silly and senseless and we don't even know that we need God. You and me, we need God to step in and take the initiative. So let's look what's going on here. Let's look at the qualifications for getting into heaven, whenever that's going to be, tonight, next week, 10 years, 50 years, I don't know. When you appear before God, when he says it's your time, how are you going to get into heaven? How is he going to let you in? Let's look at the qualifications for membership of heaven. We read in verse 13, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. Where do we send our children for a blessing? What do we consider a blessing for our children? To bless is to wish happiness upon someone, to impart or extend favourable feelings towards someone. Do we wish that for our children in relation to God? What's more important for you, for them, today? What and who will be an absolute and real blessing to your children? These parents, we don't know who they are, but they knew this much. No matter what else was going on in their lives, no matter whatever else was going on the calendar, first and foremost, they just had to get their children under the influence and the life-changing words of the Saviour. That much they did know. Clubs, facilities and healthy activities, as good as they are, and they're good. But if our children don't get the life-transforming touch and truth of Jesus Christ in their hearts and lives, their end will be an eternal disaster. We need to weigh these things up, don't we, as parents? And I don't care how old or how young your children are, don't get them married and moved away. You've still got to pray for them. That the important thing is to get to Jesus, to have his touch and his blessing and his favor and his good pleasure and his salvation upon you and upon your children. Everything else is secondary. Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom. Give that priority. Seek what God wants. Then all the other needs will be met as well. Everything else will find its own level. If you don't put him first, and the salvation of your children is a priority, long term, it's going to be an eternal disaster. And so then we read in verse, at the end of that verse 13, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. You can just see them, can't you? Dark glasses, baseball bats. Sorry, you can't see the governor. He's an important man. They're put out by the parents. It's not the children, it's the parents they're put out with. What is the matter with them? Can't be bothered? Not important enough? Not the right type? Now here's a word for the Christians here. We forget all too often that seekers come in all shapes and sizes, and they're all in different places, and their life experiences are not your life experiences, so don't let's look down on them. And please, let's get off that case. You're doing more harm than good by getting on at them. Love them, encourage them, guide them, direct them, come alongside them. And please, let the Holy Spirit do his work. Don't get in the way. Disciples, no. Stop hindering those who would come and see Jesus. And there are many in churches today, disciples and especially church leaders, who are hindering people hearing the pure word of the gospel. They are taken up with entertainment, with this, with that, with the feel-good factor, and they are not feeding the children the blessings of Jesus, the pure light and truth of his word. They're not getting it. They're getting in the way. They're more concerned that their seats are full and they can boast about numbers and they don't care about truth. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, peace at all costs. No, sorry, peace if at all possible, truth at all costs. Thank you, Joe. You give me the look there. Oh, I got that from Joe. Martin Luther, peace if at all possible, but truth at all costs. You need truth, the light and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart and life daily. Your children need this. They don't know it. They don't know it. You do. And you're a child too. You need this. You need the hand and the touch of Jesus. Have we taken a step back from the hand of Jesus and his hand of blessing of late? Have we become patchy, sloppy, preoccupied with other things, not like these parents, must get to Jesus. Now Jesus is angry and indignant with his disciples, we read. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. That doesn't happen very often. In fact, I don't recall that happening at all before. He got a bit frustrated with them sometimes. They're a bit dull and slow. They didn't have a GCSE between them. Well, that's not their fault. Now, Jesus is angry and is extremely irritated with such people as prevent those who seek Christ's blessing. He's angry with those who are on obstruction and get in the way. I don't care what gospel you're preaching. I don't care what kind of religious service you're getting. If they're not getting the word, you are being an obstruction. I don't care how full your church is. And Jesus is indignant. Make no mistake, the watering down of the blessing of God and his word, the Lord Jesus, is no laughing matter as far as God is concerned. It's not merely a matter of opinions and taste, and we do things this way and we do that way, you know. The Apostle Paul said, Galatians, if anyone preaches to you any other gospel other than what we preach, if it's wrapped up in any other kind of way, if it's a candy floss Christianity, if it's a candy floss sermon and teaching, then let it be cursed, says Paul. If anybody preaches to you any other word, let him be cursed. That's strong language. Well, we're not quite as seriously concerned these days, are we, as Paul was. As long as the church is packed, as long as we feel good, as long as we tick the box and we've done the Sunday bit, then that's fine. I see no power and truth and life changes there, do you? Too often these days in churches, instead of the Word of God, we're getting sermonettes which result in Christianettes. And that's why the church is so weak and Britain's in the state it's in. Where are the people of the book that used to be? Where are the peculiar people who were different? Where indeed? Jesus says, don't stop the children. Let them come to me. Do not stop them, says Jesus. This is the directive from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We are commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ as disciples and leaders not to hinder people coming to Jesus Christ and getting blessing and a touch from him through the pure, unadulterated truth and light of his word. If you are hindering their coming into the light of Christ, whoever you are, whoever they are, if you're being an obstruction by putting too other many things in their way and preventing them from hearing the gospel, if you're preventing yourself from coming to Jesus and hearing the gospel, stop it, says Jesus. Do not stop them, do not stop you. Get rid of the obstacles. Are you a child? Are you a seeker after God? Do you long to hold a hand and find blessing and the touch of Jesus in your heart and life? Then don't let anything get in your way. Not even false teachers, not even misguided disciples. Get to Jesus. Because here's the rub, Jesus says. Because you know what, says Jesus? You know what? Verse 14. For the kingdom of God, through Christianity, belongs to those who are like these children. The kingdom of God. Do you understand what that is? The kingdom of God. Yes, it's a place in heaven eternally, but it's also a state of being. Those of you who are genuinely born again here this morning are part of the kingdom of God. You are in this spiritual realm. You've passed from darkness to light. You're in one kingdom or the other. You're in that which is ruled by Satan, and he's very subtle. He's got many in that camp at the moment, even those who are going to church, very subtle. He's got them quiet, he's got them asleep. There, you can go to church once a week, you can be good. Just don't get carried away with it, alright? Don't get carried. You know, that bloke down on Tilly Street, he's OTT. You go down this place here, they'll pat you on the head, they'll make you feel good. And you know what? On Tilly Street, they only give you hot rods. That church gives you chocolate digestives. You want to go there. And they've got much better facilities there. They're on Silver Street. Bill and Amy tell you, know that church. And so was the pastor. I mean, what are you going there for? I've seen it. I've seen young couples come here, turn their nose up. They would deny that, but that's what I've perceived has happened. And they've gone elsewhere. And where are they today? They are nowhere. Disaster. And all because they would not stop, they would not prevent anything getting in the way of them coming to Jesus and feeling his touch. They wouldn't make sure that their children are going to hear the gospel and be saved and their lives will be touched. Preoccupied with the place, the facilities, the situation. Forgive me, I know I sound unkind, but I've seen it so often. I've seen it so often. Do you want Jesus to place his hand in your heart and life? Do you want to see it? Do you want to feel his pulse of his hand on you? Have you lost the pulse? Have you lost the touch? Are your children feeling the pulse? Are they feeling the touch? The kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. Trusting, dependent, obedient. You know where to go. When you get to the curb to cross the road, my grandchildren instinctively stop and they will wait till the parents come and the grandparents, and they will not cross until they know they are safely going to be ferried across. Are you seeking power and truth that's going to change you, get you right with God and get you into heaven, even if you die tonight? Do you want that? Do you care? Well, you be careful, because if you are careless about this, God may just flatten you out and give you time to think about it. I remember once, a few years ago, when I was getting a bit careless about my Christianity, God did my backing. I thought it was the dog. No, it wasn't the dog. It was God. That's not backwards, and I just realised that. It was God that did it. Because he needed to flatten me out on my back for a few days so he could say to me, right, have I got your attention now? And I knew why my back was done in and why I was flat on my back, because I'd been careless and sloppy. And to get my attention, because he loves me and he wants to put it right, he's not going to let you go on like that. He says, right, now I've got you where I want you. Let me love you and repair you and bring you back to where you need to be. And in God's grace, he helps me to repent and come back to him. You need the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the salvation, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life. You need a power and a strength outside of you, because you and me, we can't do it. We're not up to it. And I might have said this a million times before, but if there's one thing the Old Testament teaches us, it's this. Man cannot live up to a contract to God. He just can't do it. The kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. Will you become a child again? You became a child once, didn't you? Will you and me become children again? Swallow your pride. And instead of headlong rushing across the road to get to the other side, wherever you think the other side is, wait for Father. Wait for Jesus. Look around. Don't move until he's got your hand and you've got his. Jesus says, verse 15, I tell you the truth, says Jesus. And when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, this is God saying, listen up, this is absolutely essential. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. You will never become a Christian. You will never get to heaven. You will never have your sins forgiven. You will never be right with God. You will carry on not caring less as you are, unless you become like a little child, you put everything else second, and you make every effort to get to Jesus and have his hand upon you, and you trust him, and you ask for his forgiveness and mercy. Come trusting like a child. Seek the hand of Jesus on you. That's what you want in your heart and life. That's what you want for eternity. It's the only way you're going to find peace, contentment, satisfaction. Why, you go down to Colchester Town Centre tonight and it'll be chock-a-block with people falling about all over the place on drink and drugs and everything else. They've got to fill their lives up with something. And every Friday and Saturday night you'll find it. In every town and city in Britain, in a country that's forsaken the gospel of God and says, we'll have a bit of religion, fine, but we're not interested in the truth and the power and the life. So what do? They fill it all up with other stuff. You get rid of God, what are you going to fill the emptiness with? You're going to fill it with stuff. Booze, drugs, things to replace God. Keep you occupied. And Satan's happy to keep feeding you this stuff. Anything to keep you coming from Jesus. Don't think about it. There. You can go to church now and again, but just don't go over the top. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child, sincerely, trusting, believing, not doubting, waiting for him before you cross the road, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. You won't become a Christian today and enter the kingdom of God, and you won't enter the kingdom of God when you come to die, whether it's this week or in another 10 years. He won't turn you away. He won't turn you away. Receive the kingdom of God like a child. And then he took them in his arms, we read verse 16, and began blessing them. Okay, I've been very hard-hitting with you this morning. I'm sorry about that, but because I'm so concerned about you, I dare not say to you what God has given me to say. Alright, forget everything else. You know your state before God. You've been a silly child. You've gone wandering off. You think you could hack it. You think you could do your own thing. You thought you knew a thing or two. And yes, God, I've got it all under control. When deep down, you knew really you didn't. But you're trying to blag it out and bluff it out with God, aren't you? He would, in spite of all our foolishness and silliness, and like silly little sheep go wandering off, he comes looking for you. And he's brought you here this morning, he's looking for you, he's holding out his hands to you, he would take you in his arms today. He would do that. Do you want to feel the arms of God around you and the arms of Jesus around you? Nobody else is going to do that for you. You look inside your heart, what do you see? When you get past all the self-delusion, you know, we think they're pretty good. Well, we're not really. When you look down deep, what do you see? It's not very nice, is it? I know what I see when I look deep down, selfish, self-centered, me. Yeah, I'm not a joke about it, but actually that's what I'm all about, if you're left me to myself. He sees all that, he knows all that, he knows all about you, he knows what goes on up here, he knows what goes on in your bed, when you get up, when you're in the bathroom, when you're on the way here, he knows it all. He knows what happened last week, this year, he knows it all. All your dirty washing, all your mistakes, all your thinking, all your feelings, and all your, yeah, all right, God. He knows all that. Silly little sheep. But he wants to take you in his arms today. Nonetheless, he will still take you in his arms. And there is still grace and forgiveness for him. For you. Don't be put off by anyone or anything. These parents weren't. We've got to get to Jesus. We've got to have his feeling. We've got to have his touch. Fall into his arms of grace and mercy. Just fall into it. Lord God, I'm a sinner, have mercy on me. If you know nothing else, understand that much. And you have this promise from God's word in Isaiah. He says, those that seek me will find me. In fact, I will be found by them. I will make myself available. But he wants to see the turning of the heart. He wants to see the turning of the desires. He wants to see the charm in you stopping at the curb and waiting for Father to arrive before you set off again across the road of life. Seek him. Don't be put off by anyone or anything. Fall into his arms of grace and mercy with a heart that's sorry for sin and silliness. He will place his hand of blessing on you. You will feel his love pulsating through that wrist and hand once again. Even if you've wandered off like a silly sheep and you're not where you should be, He would take you in his arms today. My child, I have you. I have you. Do you want to be had by Jesus? Do you want 2018 to be different in 2017? Then don't let anything come between you and Jesus and his power and his touch and his blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in your wisdom and love, it's not to the famous, it's not to the rich, it's not to the powerful or the influential that you come with the words of life and power and forgiveness. It's for those who would be like little children, who will sit quietly and listen and be instructed and will take hold of your hand and will walk with you. These are the ones you come to. And we're grateful, dear Lord, that this morning you brought us to yourself. Place your hand upon us. Forgive us. Change us. Make us your own. Very own child. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen.